I believe that God has shown me that this is a day of restoration, it's a day of renewal, and it's a day of replacement. Amen? Amen. It's a day of restoration, it's a day of renewal, and it's a day of replacement. And I want to tell you that this word's for you. It's not for the ones who are not here. So don't be sitting thinking, oh, I wish such and such a person was here to hear this. This is for you. This is a word for me and for you. And I'm really excited about this because I believe that lives are going to be restored today, renewed today, and listen, replaced today. Hallelujah. So I'm really, really excited about what God wants to speak to us this morning. So Father, we praise you and thank you for our time together. We thank you for the wonderful time during praise and worship. We thank you for the testimonies that flowed so easily from the hearts of your people. We thank you for your goodness towards us, Father. You are a good, good Father. Lord, there is no dispute. It's a no-brainer. There's no question in our hearts or in our minds. You are a good, good God. You're faithful to all who call upon your name, Jesus. So we just love you, praise you, and look forward to what the Holy Ghost is going to do in this next half hour. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 11. John, the 11th chapter. Hallelujah. Aaron, what was that last song we sang, please and thank you? I've forgotten it already. Hallelujah. Keep going, my friend. Thank you. Where there was death, you brought life. Where there was fear, you brought courage. Anything else along those lines? When I was afraid, you were with me and you're lifting me up. You're lifting me up. There's a wonderful exchange going on in that song. And there's a wonderful exchange went on at the cross 2,000 years ago, and yet many of us still live as prisoners. We still live as prisoners. And I really believe that's because we haven't really got a revelation of what we sing. We haven't got a revelation of what has been accomplished. Or maybe we have got a revelation, but God wants to take us deeper. That was Paul's prayer to the saints in Ephesus, to the Ephesian church, that he prayed that he would get to know him more deeply, more intimately. Hallelujah, that's our journey here on earth, getting to know Jesus more and more and more by the Spirit of God. But look in John chapter 11. We all know this is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, and we're only picking one thing out of it today. In John 11, 25, Jesus is having a conversation with Martha. Martha says in the previous verse, talking about her brother, John, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Praise God for the faith this woman had. But then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, and I'm just reminded of something I was sharing, I don't know who it was, just the other day. I can't even remember where this conversation took place, man. Anyways, you have a lot of conversations. But you know how Jesus is on the cross, there he is on the cross, and he's got the two bad guys either side of him. One is rebuking Jesus, the other is just rebuking his friend. We all know the conversation. But then the guy says to him, don't you fear God? Don't you see this man's done nothing wrong? We deserve what we're getting here today, but this man's done absolutely nothing wrong. Don't you fear God? And Jesus turned around and said to him, today, right now, today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. And we all get excited about the paradise part. Well, here's what Jesus gets excited about. Today, you'll be with me. Today, you'll be with me. Today, you will be with me. And I think, turn to Mark chapter 3. Oh, let it be, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus is excited. It's not a paradise thing. All God ever wanted was you. That's all he ever wanted. The heaven and the paradise, that's to come. But you know what? I'm going to be with Jesus. And I am with Jesus. Where is this? Bear with me. I need to share this. Hallelujah. I'm sure it's Mark chapter 3. I don't know. It says, here we go, Mark chapter 3, verse 14, verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. Yeah, but that's you. It's not just everyone. This isn't a message for everyone, sister. This is for you. Those whom he called, those whom he wanted. Joni, he wanted you. Yeah, he wanted everybody else. But he wanted you. He wants Joan. He wanted Joan. That's why he went there, Joan, because he wanted you. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the good news of Jesus. He wanted you. Man, nobody else might have wanted you, but he did. Wow. Look, but then look, but that's not what we talk about. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And listen, and they came to him. You've got to come to Jesus. How many times are we waiting for God to come to us? Well, we've got to come to him. And they came to him. Look at verse 14. This is it. Then he appointed 12. What? Why? Why did he appoint 12? Look at the next words. That they might be with him. That they might be with him. And the rest is not insignificant. Every word is important. But all I ever wanted was you. For you and him to be together. For you and him to be reconciled. And out of everything, out of that togetherness comes your ministry. Comes everything that you speak. Comes everything that you flow. Today you'll be with me. Wow. Look at the trouble that God went to get me and you together with Jesus. Hallelujah. That they might be with him. I even had it underlined in my Bible. I don't know why I couldn't see it. That they might be with him. So in John chapter 11, Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Here's the challenge. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The Lord says to you, I have raised you from the dead. I have raised you from the dead. I have redeemed your life from the pit. And I am restoring you to the things that have been stolen. Or you and me have forfeited, given over to the enemy. Oh, I don't do that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do forfeit. We do give things up. We do give things away. And we can do that through so many ways. What do we view? What do we watch? What comes in when you're watching things you shouldn't be watching? What comes in when you're speaking things you shouldn't be speaking? We do give things away. You know, we touched very recently just on Caleb and Joshua and how all the spies went out. Most of them came back with a negative report that put fear into the hearts of their brothers. Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. They came back with words that edified, that built up, that strengthened, that encouraged. So we need to be very, very careful what we say. But today is a day of restoration. Today is a day of renewal. And today is a day of replacement. And I believe that God wants to give us a revelation into the deeper things of the Spirit as we see. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. He wants to give us this deeper revelation into the things of the Spirit, just like Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. Why do we need these things? Well, that assists us in this transfer of power. There's a transfer of power goes on the minute you got born again, the minute you gave your life to Christ. You were weak, now you're strong. You were sick, now you're well. You were poor, now you're rich. A transfer of power happened that very instant for me at 9:30, 12th of August, 1988, on Friday evening. That's when it all kicked in. That's when I was transferred from one kingdom into the other. Luke 17:21, John Minto says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I received the kingdom of heaven that night. And here I am now, nearly 9 years later on, starting to discover what was transferred. And you think you're not growing much. It's taken me 29 years, Larry. It's a private conversation we had earlier on. But it's taken me 29 years to get to this place. What's 29 years in the light of eternity? Who am I to tell God what time it is? He tells time differently from me. He says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Who am I to tell God what time it is? You know what my time is, Margie? To praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him thanks, to love on Him. That's what time it is for me. It's never to grumble, it's never to groan, it's never to complain. Although I do plenty of these things, but there's never a right time for that. And I'm trying to sort out my clock. I'm trying to get my time to be God's time, my clock to be God's clock. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Amen indeed. Paul kept asking. Notice he wasn't asking for something for himself. Always on behalf of others. Always on behalf of others. I could probably tell within 5 minutes of hearing you pray how your prayer life is and how you are with God. And if your prayer life is all about you, then we're just selfish. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all ego. But you know, within 5 minutes of hearing you praying, it's all about other people. I'm thinking, there's a man and woman of God. You do a study of the life and times of Paul, and you'll see about 95% of his prayers were for others. For other people. For other folks. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power. You've got incomparably great power. That means it doesn't compare with anything. It's inside you, and it's waiting to come out. It's waiting to be released. It shouldn't be lying dormant in your life. But most of us are so selfish, we just keep it to ourselves and we don't give it away. That was the challenge God gave to me all those years ago when He told me I was becoming like a big fat pig. Told me to get rid of some of my fat, get rid of some of this energy, this power, these miracles, these words of life, these words of encouragement. Give it away. And I realized very quickly that as much as I gave away, He filled me back up. I discovered years ago I couldn't outgive Him. Sandy Ferguson asked me, he says, John, would you speak for no more than 5 minutes at a men's meeting? I've run a mile from that. I thought, there's no way I can speak for 5 minutes. There's no way I can talk that length of time. What do I know? I used to look up to, you know, I had guys in the church. John Fisher was there. John Fisher, Alec Cook, Brian McKenzie, Gordon Pringle, men like that that I looked up to and think, man, they're the men of God. They know how to speak. I can't do these things. So I ran from that invitation for a few times. And so the way God said, in fact, the pastor's wife thrust a microphone in her living room. I don't know what we were doing with a microphone in our living room. But she thrust a microphone in my hand. She says, here, take that. I said, I don't need that. She says, you do. And she gave me it back. I says, I don't need it. I said, I don't want it. I've got a loud enough voice. She says, you need it. She says, you better get used to speaking into these things because you'll do that a lot more than you think or imagine. Well, she knew a lot more and imagined than I ever could or did. Why am I talking into that? You know, and I praise God for them because they helped launch me into what I'm doing today. And I will never, ever cease to acknowledge that because we see things in other people that sometimes we don't see even in ourselves. That's one of the beautiful things of the position that we have. We see things in you that you don't even see. You don't even recognize because you just see the mess you make. You just see the what you're not doing. But God has given us a wonderful thing to see the potential in every one of you. And boy, we are going to see that released. And listen, it's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of all that will come under your ministry. What ministry, some of you say? Yes, you've got a ministry. It might be to the ones and twos. It might be to the masses. I have no idea. But you do have a ministry. And our ministry at this moment in time is getting to know him better. So go back to John chapter 11, please, and thank you. Hallelujah. John 11, reading from verse 38 through 43, very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me." Me and you's not convinced of that. We are not convinced that God always hears us. Why else would you cry, "God, what's going on? Why is this happening?" And you do. We do. Collectively, we do. Individually, you do. Individually, I do. Just make sure everybody's covered there. Not one accused of any form of bias or racism or prejudice or in this so politically correct world. You know what? I don't give a rip about politically correct world. If God's telling me to say it and it's against what everybody else believes, then I'll say it. If it's in right in accordance with his word, I'll say it, regardless of how PC it is. Hallelujah. Look what it says in 42. "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus was speaking for somebody else's behalf, for the benefit of other people. Why do you speak? Why do we open up? Is it encouraging? Is it building up? Is it strengthening your brothers and sisters? Every time he spoke, he knew that God heard him. No questions. He just knew. Once he had prayed it, no need to pray that again. I've prayed it. I've done it. God's heard. He'll respond in his due season. My job now, praise the Lord. Give thanks to him. Move on to the next thing of item of prayer. Don't keep banging on heaven's door. I've told you before, heaven's door's not closed. It's wide open, thanks be to Jesus. The windows of heaven are open, pouring blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Hallelujah. So he said, when he had said this in 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let them go." Man, there's so much in there which we would love to just camp out there and talk and discuss, but we're not. But Jesus is saying, come out of the tomb to Lazarus. And he's saying the same to me and you today. Come out of the tombs of despair. Come out of the tombs of hopelessness. Come out of the tombs of worry. Come out of the tombs of anxiety. Come out of the tombs of sickness. Come out of the tombs of fear. Come out with shouts of victory. There should be a song of victory on our lips every moment of every day. And it's not the case, but it needs to be. It's what we are progressing to as individuals and collectively as a church. This needs to be a house of victory. This needs to be a house of praise. You sent out a cracking reading just sometime this week or sometime last week. I don't know when it was because you send them out every day. But it really, really blessed me. I'm not saying they all don't, but this one particularly grabbed my attention from, I don't know, one or two Chronicles. And it was when Israel was going out to battle. But the guys who went before them, as we all know, were the praise and worship folks. You're all telling me things. Yeah, the praise and worship folks, singers and musicians, same thing. But it was the heading that caught my attention. Praise precedes victory. You remember that one that you sent out? That really caught my attention. Because I have to admit, sometimes it just goes and read through them. But I do read them, so the word's going in. I don't usually spend much time there, but that headline caught my attention. And I thought, man, this is what we need to be. We need to be this people of praise before the victory. And it likens me to the teaching that I have with Zechariah and with Mary. Because Mary's song of thanks came before the promise was delivered. You will have a son, his name will be Jesus, he'll save the world. She received that promise and she sang a song of thanksgiving before the birth of Jesus. she heard the word of God and went, Amen, hallelujah, and she sang a song. Zechariah, on the other hand, got the promise, gave thanks after the birth of the promise. If you remember, he was struck dumb. There's a lot more in that as well, but he gave thanks after the promise. What camp are you in? What camp are you in? Do you need to see the manifestation of the promise? Do you need to just see the victory before you give thanks? Or are you going to be that man and woman of faith who will give thanks unto God for he has spoken to me? Him speaking to you should be enough. But it's not. Somehow or other, we need a sign, we need a symbol, we need to see the manifestation of it. And we touched on Thomas's unbelief just very recently, and we saw how strong his unbelief was. Unless I see, unless I can put my hand in his side. That's strong unbelief. That's very strong unbelief. And I'll tell you, unbelief can get a grip of your hearts if you allow it. Lord, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. It runs hand in hand. And we need help with our unbelief. It never ceases to amaze me when people come to see us for counsel, for prayer, for ministry, to talk, and they're struggling, and we will always point them back to the Word of God, and the response 100% is, oh, I know that. No, you don't know that, or you would not be in the condition you're in right now. You've only got a knowledge of it. You don't know it. And then when you do try and point them in the ways of the Scripture, all you get is, boom, a doctrinal argument. Stuff your doctrinal arguments and just take on board what these people are trying to say to you and encourage you and build you up with. Stop wasting people's times with arguments. Stop wasting people's times with discussion. If you come to see me and Susan for counsel, I am not going to debate with you about Scripture. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says, and you can either like it or lump it. But don't spend 4 hours of my time discussing what you think it means. Let God reveal that to me. If nothing else, say to me, let's agree to disagree and move on to the next point. Don't waste my time. Don't waste anybody else's time. Well, that's not in the notes. But you know, there's so much time wasted in church. And you know what? It's over nothing. It's over nothing. It's what, Andrew?
A wile of the devil.
The wiles of the enemy. Just draining people, draining individuals, draining families. Oh, hallelujah. I love what Dave Joel once said. Guy shows up at Dave's door. I will go into the story. Turns up at Dave's door, 2 o'clock in the morning, incessant knocking on the door. Dave gets up sleepily, grabs his robe from the bed, puts the robe on, ties it down, goes down to the front door with the lights on, and he's getting all dazzled. And this guy standing at the front door with eyes popping out of his head looks at him and says, "You Dave Joel?" "Yep." "How can I help?" "You Dave Joel, the guy who casts out demons?" "Yep, I'm your man. I'm the guy who casts out. What's your problem?" He says, "You sure you're Dave Joel?" "I'm Dave Joel. Why do you have a problem with who I am?" He says, "Well, why are you wearing your wife's robe?" He had his wife's dressing gown on. But here's the thing. He said to the guy, once they got over that, he said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Well, I've had this demon troubling me for a long time." "What do you call a long time?" "Oh, 25 years. I've been having an issue in my life, and I can't overcome this issue in my life. I've been having trouble with this for 25 years. Dave looked at his watch, 2:30 a.m. "So I'll tell you what to do. Go home. Go to bed, come back at 11 a.m. this morning." He says, "You've had that for 25 years. Another 8 hours isn't going to harm you. Come back and see me at a reasonable hour." And I'll tell you, that's a message to the whole church universally, that you just don't go banging on somebody's door. Now, I know the scriptures that you could back that up with, but that's not true. It's not the way it is about somebody coming to your bed at night and asking for a piece of bread or whatever. That's different. And that's a story where we are not going into today. But all I'm saying is just be sensitive and be careful of one another's time. Be a blessing to that individual. Just go and be an encouragement. And if you are coming for help, remember what you're coming for. You're coming for help. That means you're in need. And God has led you to that brother or sister to be that support and be that help. And the next thing we know, we're having a head-on clash. And I'm thinking, whoa, I never asked for this meeting. You asked for it. You asked for my help. You asked for our help. You asked for their help. So just be sensitive to the people that you're going to see and that want to be a help and want to be a support and want to be an encouragement. Hallelujah. Come out from the tombs of defeat. Come out from the tombs of despair. Come out with shouts of victory. Remove your grave clothes. Remove your grave clothes and stop sleeping among the dead. That's what God is saying to us today. Stop sleeping among the dead. Come out from among them, declares the Lord. Come out from among them. Matthew, for those taking notes, Matthew 22:32, Mark 12:27, and Luke 20:38 all read, I am the God of the living. I am the God of the living. And I believe that God is saying to the church today, I am breathing life right now into that which was once dead. And you know the things that you struggle with. You know the things that you think are over. You know the things that you think are dead. Well, God says, I'm breathing new life into that which was once dead. You need to speak to the dead bones. As in Ezekiel 37, when it says, arise. And God is saying to you today, arise. Get up from where you are. Stop living like a victim. You're not, you're a victor. You're more than a conqueror and you've overcome the world. And yet we are living, church, as prisoners. Living as prisoners. Isaiah 35 tells us to speak to the weak knees. Speak to that which is feeble. Joshua 1 verse 6 says, be strong and be courageous. Come out and rise up. God is calling us to rise up today. John 11:43, we've already read it. Remove and lay aside the grave clothes. Lay them down. Lay them aside. You know, when you come here in the morning, you should be looking in the mirror and dressing yourself up and doing what you're doing. And hear God's voice saying to you, man, you're clothed in robes of righteousness. You're clothed in garments of praise. And listen to God say this to you. Margie, you look great in them. You look great in them, Andrew. David, you look awesome in garments of praise. Amazing in robes of righteousness. But you know what, Chris? Your flesh stinks. So get that flesh suit off and put on these robes of righteousness and these garments of praise. Not just Chris's flesh. Me too, all of us. Not picking on Chris. Just happened to catch the vision. Hallelujah. So rise up. Lay aside the grave clothes. For I am, God says to us this, I am clothing you with those things that pertain to the abundant life that I have promised you in and through Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. I am clothing you, not your neighbor. Chris, this isn't for Lisa. Lisa, this isn't for Chris. I am clothing you with those things that pertain to the abundant life that I have promised you in and through Jesus Christ. When did he close you, Andrew? The minute he got saved. And boy, I'll tell you what, Andrew is so excited because when he goes into his wardrobe, he's bringing out things thinking, wow, I've never wore that for a long time. It might be joy. It might be peace. It might be contentment. It might be provision. It might be well-being. It might be health. It might be wholeness. I don't know what Andrew's bringing out of his closet. But I'll tell you what, God says, Andrew, you look $1 million in that. Amen. In fact, you know what God says? It's priceless what you're putting on. It can't be bought, Andrew. Because you've been clothed, thanks be to that sacrifice at the cross all those years ago. And you all, for our American friends, y'all. For our Scots, y'all. Y'all like that, y'all. You know, see, what do you say, Dorothy? You'll say you all. You're posh. Use. For all use. We've all got our own wee take in there. I shouldn't have asked Dorothy. Dorothy's so well spoken. Hallelujah. Although she's got a funny wee accent in there every now and again. Hallelujah. That's how he has clothed you. Question. Do you believe in his redemptive power, his power to replace that which has been lost or stolen, his power to restore those things that have been destroyed? Well, today is a day of divine replacement. God says, I will replace the old with the new. I will replace the dead with the living. I will replace what is lacking with overflow. I will replace sorrow with joy and garments of praise for your former shame. Divine replacement will take place through his Spirit and his word. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that all things have passed away, all things have become new. All things, church. Excuse me. But God is saying, divine replacement, replacing the old with the new, the dead with the living, lacking with overflow, sorrow for joy, garments of praise for your former shame. Wonderful divine replacement. So we need to respond to this revelation of restoration, this revelation of redemption and replacement. How do we respond? By faith. It's the simple thing. You just respond by faith. If it's lack, if it's financial lack and your bank balance is saying nothing, your bank balance might even be in the red, then you've got to respond to faith that God can and will provide and give you a way out of this and bring you back into prosperity. It may take time, but if you start believing it and confessing it, you watch what will happen. Chris did a wonderful teaching on, or has touched on a wonderful teaching. I'm sure he's got a lot more inside him about giving, tithes, offerings, all of these things. And you've not heard it, and you have heard it, well, listen to it again. And that's only for finances. You can apply that to every area of your life. You start applying the word of God, even if it's just a confession to start with, you'll start to believe what you're starting to confess. I can testify that even about my own healing, my own health. I know that I walk in divine health and divine healing. I know that. Because all those years ago when I was diagnosed with lumbago and sciatica, I was taking painkillers. I got so angry with the painkillers because they were doing nothing. All I could do was lie on a concrete floor in the home. We had no carpet at the time. So I could just lie comfortably on this concrete floor. I was banging these painkillers into me and it wasn't relieving the pain. I got so angry with these. I was just a young Christian. I had no idea that 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes of Jesus I've been healed. I had no idea in revelation of healing. I'd had no idea about claiming and speaking healing scriptures over my body. I had no idea of that. I just got so angry with this bottle of tablets that I threw it across the floor. The bottle went spinning and the tablets all went around the floor, around this concrete floor. And I got so angry with this pain, with the pain, not with God. I got so angry with the pain, I thought, enough. And a long story short was God came and healed me. I didn't even know him as healer. I didn't know him as a healer at that time. But that was my first encounter with a healing God. And I was wonderfully set free from lumbago and sciatica. And you know, to this day, I walk healthy, I walk free. That's why Larry and I were kind of semi-joking just the other night, because I said to Mike, whose name is Dixon, for the British people amongst us, you'll remember PC Dixon, Dixon of Doc Green, police serial in the 1960s, black and white TV. And yes, Jacob, I did have black and white TV. And I said to Mike when he came into the men's meeting men's meeting on Wednesday evening. Evening, Mike, as PC Dixon once said, because he used to say good evening all at the end of his program, evening all. And Mike says, oh, John, that wasn't yesterday. I says, when was that? He says, 1987, I think he said. I went, man, that's 20 years ago, 10 years ago. What did I say? 20 years ago. And Mike went, no. I went, no, I must have went 10 years ago. And then I went 20 years ago. And I went 20 years ago. And Larry said, oh, John, you're getting old. Then I went, 30 years ago. Then I had this immediate flash thought thinking, hold on a minute, what's getting older got to do with me not being able to do sums? So I rebuked Larry. in the nicest possible way, because here's the thing that I just and Larry, bless him, he just got the sharp end of John's tongue. I had just prayed a few days earlier, Lord, where's all the 120-year-old Christians? Where are they? Where are they? Where are all these 120-year-old Christians? All these men of faith, oh, it's not just 70 years and 10, 120 years they are guaranteed. Well, where are they all? Where's the 120-year-old Christians? That was my commission to God. Then I said, Lord, let me be one. Let me be that 120-year-old Christian. And God said to me, why do you want to be the 120-year-old Christian? I said, well, here's why. I said, I want to give glory to you. I said, because when you see old people, there was an old guy just yesterday in the TV, and that made me laugh. You see the old 100-year-old, the old 102, 105-year-old, and they'll say, well, what's the secret to your longevity? What's the secret to your long life? Oh, have a wee half every night before I go to bed, a wee shot of whiskey before I go to bed. The old guy yesterday said, oh, a wee glass of red wine doesn't hurt you. And I'm thinking, what a lot of rubbish. I want, when that television man, when that camera crew come up to me and say, so what's your secret of longevity? God. God. I've walked with God all these years, don't you know? And I'm going to use that 120-year-old life to be a witness to the glory of God and the power of God and the strength of God and the provision of God. And my health is glory to Him. I want to be that 120-year-old Christian. You know what? I'm going to be Him. Unless Jesus comes back. Unless Jesus comes back first. Hallelujah. Unless Jesus comes back first, I believe I'm going to make that. I'm going to be the man who's going to give glory to God. I'm going to be the man who's going to tell of His strength and His longevity in my life and in my bones. So, Larry, I do apologize for blasting you that, but it was fresh off the press, Larry, and I just couldn't hold it back. Hallelujah. So we need to respond by faith to what God wants to restore to us, to redeem to us, to give us back, to replace, to release the dead, the old, the empty, the broken, the loss of the lost, the shame, the burden, or the lack. Release all that with a confident anticipation of divine replacement that God is pouring out on you today. Now. It's now. Respond with release. Just give it. Just right now. Just do it right now. Just release it. The struggles, the difficulties, the awkwardness, the hardship, the lack, the poverty. The struggles you're having, release it right now and just believe Him. You might not see any physical change right now, but just believe Him right now that He is changing things. He heard Jesus' cry, and right now He's hearing yours. Right now He is hearing yours. You need to respond with releasing that. Respond by faith. But listen also, respond in rest. Respond in rest. Just rest. Rest. Knowing that He's heard, He's acting, He's at work, and you're at rest. Rest in His promises. Rest in the assurance that if God is for you, who or what can be against you? Begin to praise God now for the victory that's already been won. Give Him thanks for that provision. Give Him thanks for that need that right now He is working on your behalf. Give Him thanks. But John, I don't see it. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. That's why we're here. We need to renew our confidence in the goodness of God. We need to allow our confidence to rise beyond our former understanding of the goodness of God. And some of us, our hope has been deferred. Proverbs 13:12 says that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And some of us, our hope has been deferred. Why has it been deferred? And God says it's been deferred because your prayers seem to have gone unanswered. So therefore you've given up. Deferred just simply means give up. Quit believing. Quit trusting. That'll make you sick. Things that you've prayed for, there are circumstances that seem to challenge your faith. But I believe today there's a shift happening. Even right now, from waiting on God to respond to you to an understanding that God is waiting for you to respond to His word and His love. There's a shift happening. I'm going to read that. Man, that's a good note. There's a shift happening, and I believe even right now, from waiting on God to respond to you, and we're getting an understanding that God is waiting for us to respond to His word and His love. Hallelujah. Right now, I really believe I'm seeing long-held beliefs about the Lord being shifted in the depths of our minds, your consciousness. And it's that all of that's happening to better align us with the truth of God's heart towards you. Ephesians 1:17. I pray that you might get to know Him better. Oh, there's a lot more to say, but hallelujah. Let me go to 1:45. Hallelujah. A revelation into the accusations that have been leveled against God's character by our unbelief will bring repentance, and it will bring restoration of relationship, and I believe it will also bring divine alignment with the purposes of God in your own life. Those who are determined, underline the word determined, those who are determined to trust in and rely on not their own understanding, according to Proverbs chapter 3, but trust in the Lord of heaven and earth, they are going to be receiving an outpouring of His glory and grace. Faces that were formerly covered with shame, despondency, and despair will brighten in the light of His countenance that will be clearly revealed to those that have eyes to see. I just commented to Larry this morning as we were talking through in room one, just how I just see His countenance has so changed, so bright. His eyes are sparkling. And I don't know what you're doing, Larry, but just you keep doing it. You're just getting deeper and deeper into the love of God. So we need to renounce all doubt. We need to renounce all wavering. We need to draw near to God according to James chapter 4 and resist the whispers of the enemy reminding you of your past experiences. John 10, 7 through 18, have no time to look at it today, but that tells us about how the sheep know His voice, Jesus' voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow. So we need to be very careful who we're listening to. Do not look through a faulty lens that is darkened by your refusal to trust in God's grace and promise to bring good out of all the things for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. We need to come out from among the tombs. Come out from among the tombs. Tombs marked regret, shame, cursed, poor, neglected, rejected, ugly, weak, sick, broken, are given up their dead. They are given up their dead. Come out from among the tombs of the past, says God to you today. What was, listen, what was will never be again. What was will never be again. Today is the day of salvation, according to 2 Corinthians 6. So forgetting, like Paul, what lies behind and pressing on to the good things that are ahead. So stop looking, according to Luke chapter 24, stop looking for the living among the dead. You won't find them. Stop looking for the living among the dead. This is a day and season of harvest. I loved it. I stayed up late last night to watch the graduation in Colorado. Man, they need to change their schedule so we in Britain can watch that at a far better time. They're keeping me up too late. But you know, the class was called the Year of Harvest. I thought, wow, that's so powerful, a year of harvest. Now I know that those guys have had a couple of years at least of harvest. But for us, this is a day and season of harvest. Hard work and faith will yield massive results. God's saying the rain has come. The rain has come. Last time I saw Andrew's mum, she was moaning it was too dry. I thought, typical farmer. There's his wife saying, oh, love the sunshine. Getting tanned up. There's his mother. We need rain. We need rain. I said, Barbara, you're just a typical farmer. You could have four types of weather in that same one field and you still wouldn't be happy. You'd find something to grumble about. This is all you farmers ever do is complain about the weather. But that's I'm generalizing. But anyways, God is saying to us, the rain has come. The rain has come. I love it when you see these nature programs and rain hasn't been there for years and years and years. But underneath the hard baked clay, there was life. There was life. And as soon as a dribble starts to come through, not even a flood, as soon as a dribble starts to come through, greenery starts to pop up. Well, some of you have been going through a long, dry, barren season. Well, I'm saying to you this morning, this afternoon, the rain has come. The rain has come. Do you see the shoots? No. Well, open your eyes of faith. Sometimes you need to close these and just see with eyes of faith. See the shoots growing. See the new life appearing. See the rain coming. See the rain falling. See that torrent. See it in your own life before you see it. And give thanks for what you see by faith. Giving thanks. Praise precedes victory. The rain of the Spirit of God is pouring down for those to receive. Listen, on all who want to receive. You can either receive or not. The rain of God's blessing and glory are falling today. Come out from among the dead. Walk in the newness of life that Christ Jesus died for you to have. Peace is now. Life is now. Jesus says to me and you, come out. And finally, obedience to his commands will release you. Your will is no longer captive to sin and death. Make up your mind to choose life. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20 tells us these things. God said to Israel, today I set before you life and death. And man being so dumb can make the wrong choice. We think we would choose life all the time. We don't. Sometimes we choose death. Psalmist tells us twice, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end result is death. What's the way of death? The way of me, the way of my flesh, the way of carnality, the way of John wanting his own way and his own opinion. That's the way of death. And yet God tells us in Deuteronomy, he says, today I set before you death and life. And then he even gives you the answer, Andrew. He says, choose life. He gives us the answer. What a great teacher he is. My teachers at school never ever told me the answers. I had to work it out for myself. And too many of us in the church are trying to work it out for ourselves. Just choose life. And listen what happens when you choose life. The grace of God will flood your soul, enabling you to live life to the full as promised by Jesus. The glory and life of God will fill you up and overflow into the lives of others. You are called to be a container of the glory of God here on earth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, there's a lot in there, and you're going to have to sit and digest all of that all over again, because that's for today. That's a word for the church today. I'm really excited by that. So the meeting's closed, but I want to just, if anybody wants prayer, then just stand, because I'm believing that rains of refreshing are coming upon you right now. So hallelujah. I'm not forcing you to stand. This is between you and God. You know the areas that are dry, that are caked, that are baked, and you haven't allowed God into your life in certain areas and certain departments. Well, God says, I'm the Lord of all. The old preacher once said, if I'm not the Lord of all, then I'm not Lord at all. So God is saying to you, maybe challenging you, maybe confronting you in issues in your lives. And I include myself in this, because this isn't the first time I've heard this message. So I get challenged in all of these things as well. And if I was out there, I'm standing. So I believe that God just wants you to know the reign of heaven. The reign of heaven. The reign of heaven. The rain of heaven falling down upon you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is just falling upon them right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus, how you touch individuals. You minister to families. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, that you are just bringing hope with the rain. You're bringing hope with the rain. Thank you for the rain, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, just come and flood these people. Flood these people. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain, Father. You're washing over the dryness, the aridness. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, that you're making the desert a fertile place. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, that we are coming from death to life. Thank you, Father, we are coming from poverty to lack. Thank you, Lord, we are coming from sickness to well-being. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain, Jesus. Just give you praise. Thank you for the rain. Nearly forgot about my own wife. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the rain. Thank you, the Lord. Right now, there's a divine exchange going on. Today, there's a divine exchange. Father, for these people, this is a season of harvest. A season of harvest. We just declare it over them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the rain. Thank you that they have come out by the simple act, Lord, of what they have done today by being obedient to stand. They have come out from among the dead. They have come out from among the tombs. Thank you, Lord God, for this day of divine replacement. Thank you, Father God, that we are leaving behind the old, the empty, the broken, the loss, the shame, the burden, the lack. And Father, we with confident anticipation are believing for divine replacement that you are pouring out upon your people right this very minute in the name of Jesus. So Father, by faith we receive it. By faith we receive it. And Father, we will declare it until even our physical eyes will see it. But Father, before that, we will give you a song of thanks. We will give you a song of praise. Lord, we will just give up hearts that are just blessed by you, Jesus, for all that you are doing in our lives. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. You can hug somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen.